What's up? This is PR, and you're now listening to Respect the Game, the Slam podcast on Winner's Circle Media.
What's up, everyone? It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Jahlil Okafor's right hook, back again, Slam Magazine podcast volume 2. I got my man Abe Schwadron with me, of course. Abe, what's good, bro?
Yo, what up, man? It's Abe from Slam, aka Young Hawaiian Punch, in the building again. Always got it right here by my side. Quench my thirst during this great podcast.
Oh God! And
how much you get paid for that?
Next to him, we got Adam Figman, aka Lord of the Figs, aka Young Figs Taps, aka
Andrew Figgins,
aka Andrew Figuadala, aka Skylar Diggins. What's good, bro? How are you?
What up? What up? What up? What up?
That's really it?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Just a few what ups.
How you guys doing?
Before we jump into any of this,
all right,
I got a few words for Rick Ross. He called Slam Online a crab site.
And what does that even mean? Have we determined what that means yet?
Well, Abe, since this is kind of your doing.
Why
don't you explain what happened earlier this week with young Renzel?
I mean, look, Rick Ross did an interview with Hot 97 where he said that Kobe should have retired 7 years ago, which, as many of our commenters pointed out, would have been right coming off of an MVP season and just prior to back-to-back titles. So either Rick Ross did some bad math or he really hates Kobe Bryant.
Well, based on this,
he definitely hates Slam now that we posted about that,
and he proceeded to go on his Instagram account, posted a picture of himself from a special edition Slam magazine, if I'm correct.
Oh, it was special, all right.
and said got this image from a crab site, meaning Slam Online.
So no credit either to the photographer.
No credit.
Shout out Tom Medvedich.
So Rick Ross also said, what did he say last year? Like, he would put up 100K that Miami would finish ahead of Cleveland in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, so Rick Ross's basketball
off top,
knowledge and acumen is a little suspect at best right now. So,
although we have seen videos of him playing basketball,
he's got right, fire. He's got a little J from the top of his a little.
Anyway,
I encourage everyone to please, I beg you, go to the comments of that picture that we posted on at Slam Online on Instagram. The comments, I was reading through the comments today. God bless our commenters. I was crying, laughing, almost fell over how funny these comments were.
And you know what? He's throwing shots at us, man. I'm not going to stand here and take that. I'm throwing them right back.
Love his crab site? Crab website?
Yeah, a crab website.
Man, he might be a crab-ass
rapper. Yeah, so anyway,
go put the crab emoji under his Instagram photos.
Let's go. I'm down to start this, man.
It sucks that his music is just fire, though.
Yeah, true. At least with the Hello remix.
Also, ironic that
Adele remix. Jeez, man.
2012, Stay Scheming, Rick Ross's verse, like, mentions, he's like, Kobe, I hate it had to be him.
He's also reading
much fewer than 7 years ago. Oh, yeah. So
he's also reading a Slim magazine issue in a Stally video. So he clearly knows who to get at if he has a real issue here.
About to DM him from Slam right now. What's good?
As long as he doesn't stick gunplay on us, I'm good. Anyway, speaking of Kobe's retirement,
how many people have already stopped listening to this for too much Rick Ross talk in the beginning of our Slam podcast?
This is a great endorsement. Thank you. Speaking of Kobe's retirement, it has swept the basketball world. He wrote a poem, declaring that this will be his last season as an NBA player.
Drop bars.
Yeah. I mean, I never knew. Well, I knew Kobe had bars in him from his short-lived hip-hop career, but I didn't know he still could explore that side of him. So, you know, obviously 20 years in, one of the greatest players of all time, certainly has helped Slam out a ton just by being as good as he is. There was a point where...
Just by breathing?
Yeah, I mean, Slam, we were putting him on a cover. This is a little before our time with the publication, but putting him on a cover probably every 3 to 6 months, where he was, you know, in that LeBron's the space that LeBron is in now. So, I mean, just in general, like, what are your thoughts on this whole thing, Abe? You know, do you think he, I mean, it was pretty clear that this was going to be it for him. just by the way, you know, the way he was talking to the media. And, you know, before the season even started, people were speculating, oh, like, where is he going to go next year? But he, you know, he's coming off major injuries, 20 years in, amazing career, 5 rings in the same breath as Michael Jordan. So I guess, what are your overall, like, personal thoughts? What are some of your favorite Kobe memories? How do you feel about his career in general?
I mean, first of all, I wonder if you guys would agree, but I feel like we're in this space now where it's really hard to, like, you know, give an appreciation for his whole career, because we live in this, like, everyone just wants to get off their next joke on Twitter or whatever it may be. It's so hard to, like, take a step back, and we probably won't even do that until maybe, like, you know, he's inducted in the Hall of Fame or whatever. It was kind of the same thing with Iverson too. It was kind of like that weird end to his career. I mean, I guess Kobe's setting up this year to make it a little more, you know, quote unquote special, or, you know, we know it's coming, whatever, but I don't know. I, to me, it's like, if you're roughly our age, when you grew up, either your favorite player was Iverson or Kobe, and that was basically it. So that's, I think that's, like, the lasting thing for me, is literally probably 50% of all people I know within right around our age are going to say that Kobe is or was their favorite player, you know, for a variety of reasons. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Figs?
I mean, I feel like I agree, but can't we, like, can you, are you allowed to make jokes about Kobe on Twitter?
And yes,
also,
of course.
Also, like, appreciate the fact that he's a legend. Like, it's just sports. I think, I feel like there's a lot
of course,
you know, we should respect the jokes and also respect Kobe as the, you know, the legend that he is. But I don't know. The whole thing is kind of sad. It's just, you just think about the fact that you literally grew up with this dude, watching him on TV every single night. And now it's like, wow, that chapter is closing. There's a weird nostalgia to it all.
Right. And, you know, I was, when the announcement came down, I was like, wow, you know, Kobe's kind of gone out, at least with a little bit of dignity. And then he proceeds to take 17 threes literally the next game.
Dignity, not the word I would choose.
And
but
I feel like there's, and I don't necessarily fall into this category, but there's something to be said for someone who, you know, why does he have to play this whole season out if he's already going to be retiring? Why can't he just say, all right, I'm retired, I'm done? Does he have to go on this whole tour and, you know, go to every arena and get honored the way Derek Jeter did when he retired from the Yankees? Is this whole thing necessary? I mean, he's just not good right now.
My question is, what is the motivation for him if he's already told us via a poem that his body is, like, done? So how is he going to do this for the rest of the year? And B, why? If he's basically my body can't do it, but here I am again.
And wouldn't it be more devastating if he gets a terrible injury again that just knocks him out for, you know, the rest of the year and, like, borderline cripples him?
Well, yes, it would.
Am I the only one here that's in total favor of what Kobe's doing right now?
It sounds like it.
I think he should gun away, man. He's filling arenas.
Well, for him, yeah.
But he's filling arenas filled with people who are paying money to see Kobe Bryant one last time. Like, they didn't see him to ride the bench. They definitely didn't see him to sit out, you know, sit out games entirely. He's giving these people what they want.
Like, I actually, on that point, I actually kind of agree. It's like, I've even kind of changed on this since maybe the first couple games of the season, where I would have agreed with the people who were like, oh, they're not going to develop D'Angelo Russell. They're not going to develop. Well, it's like, all right, well, whatever. Like, that's not happening anyway. This team is god awful. And I mean, I have more of a problem with the coach than Kobe. If, you know, when it comes down to it, Kobe's Kobe. He's not going to be able to turn it off. He's proven that at this point. He's going to go out there and be, you know, what Kobe looks like. The shot might not go in, but he's going to do Kobe, what he thinks in his mind is what he should be doing. So it's really on the coach. And, you know, if the franchise wants to go to him and say, look, you've made this announcement, can we, like, tweak the way we're going to do this? Then that's their prerogative. But it looks like nobody wants to do that. So,
right. And then, I mean, if that's the case, then can a case be made that he should be coming off the bench then? Should be the sixth man, come out, get his 10 to 15
Because I don't think you can deny him that, you know, starting lineup announcement ovation everywhere he goes.
But arenas don't even fill up like that for beginning of games.
For him, they will.
They are starting to. They're going to, especially as the season.
You know
how
many Kobe stands there are in this world who would go anyway, even if it wasn't his last season. He went last year.
I guess
to see him sit on the bench in a suit.
So many people for that Sixers game are like, oh, I'm driving. Like, X amount of hours to go see him play in Philly. That's literally like one of the worst basketball games you could ever attend.
I really think that Kobe might, is Kobe going to be the last dude where like he has just his legion of, like, to me, LeBron gets so much more. We post anything about LeBron on our site, all the comments on Twitter, on Instagram are hating on him. Anything about James Harden, hating on him. Even Steph Curry gets like people, why do you keep talking about the Warriors? Whatever.
This is LeBron. It's going to be LeBron.
LeBron?
Yeah. You're just looking at it like you're too close. Wait, this Kobe.
Well, this is kind of my point.
But
about,
my point is in 2004 or three or, you know, that era Kobe, I'm sure there was a lot of people, same deal.
Who hated him.
At the eighth point, I think a big part of it is that he never left the Lakers. And that,
yeah, that helps.
And that, you know, people really ride for him for that very reason.
Right. And the Lakers fan base was bigger off the bat just because they're the Lakers. Yes. Showtime, Magic, all that, Wilt, Kareem.
And this is the best thing.
You know, LeBron has Cleveland, which doesn't have nearly the same fan base.
So, absolutely.
You know, off the rip.
Absolutely.
I do think we need to stop and just take a moment of silence for how unbelievably wrong we were in the Slam top 50 for even having him in the top 50, let alone 500 players in the NBA. I mean,
and they said we were disrespectful.
He's so bad.
We were disrespectful.
Mad people said, oh, you're disrespecting Kobe. No.
We're actually giving him the benefit of
actually,
the doubt.
Actually, we were way too nice to him.
Can we talk about how it seems like the wave against Kobe is like he's ruining D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson. Like, it's 1 year.
Yeah.
This is happening for 1 year. It's not happening for 4 years. A lot of dudes sit out their whole rookie year. They sit on the bench their whole rookie year. This isn't ruining anybody's career.
Also, don't you think, I mean, to those people, like, wouldn't you rather have them be around Kobe Bryant for 1 year?
Of course.
Like, look, I'm a Wizards fan. I watched what Paul Pierce was able to, even if just by osmosis, just being there, was able to do for Otto Porter, for John Wall, for Bradley Beal. And that was 1 year. I would for sure do that with Kobe.
Yeah, it's not going to work with every player, but Kobe is the exception that's going to still come to the gym every day and be there on time or early. Yeah. And get in the gym and still be working out and going through the motions and setting that example for kids like D'Angelo and Jordan and Julius to play 20 years in the league and to see what you do to your body and how much it takes to really do that.
Two blessings that are coming from this for the Lakers standpoint. One, Kobe's been terrible, right? Which I'm sure that, you know, Lakers fans would like to like make the playoffs or whatever, but obviously not happening. But the fact that he's so bad means that he was, you know, off the bat 10, 15 games in the season, like, okay, I'm not playing next year. Imagine if he was pretty good and the Lakers were like a 10 seed.
I mean, I'd say like five games into the season.
Because then you're in an awkward, you're in a such an awkward
space.
Next
year, and yeah, he would just keep, like, this is a 1 year thing. It's not ruining anybody's career because it's just for 1 year. You know, it's just existing for this time period and we know when it's going to end and the Lakers can kind of already plan for the post.
Yeah, franchise-wise.
If he was good, that wasn't happening.
Yeah, franchise-wise, this is the best thing that's happened to
totally.
Him in years.
Not only that, but he's stinking it up, which means that they're going to have a terrible draft pick, which means they're going to keep their draft pick.
Right? Yeah.
Because they keep it if it's 1-3.
Yeah.
It's so ironic because it's so depressing on the one hand, but they're kind of accidentally lucking into,
absolutely,
like, they're, you know, what if they get the first pick? They get Ben Simmons. All of a sudden, you have a pretty nice core
pretty
developing.
Fire
there.
Core, yeah. Yeah, like a really, like, super fun.
By accident,
young team.
Essentially.
Word.
I do have to say one thing about. Remember, so last night, the Sixers beat the Lakers. And after the game, Kobe had a quote where he was like, after my first three threes, I think, like, the Sixers players were really in awe and they thought I might like go off for 81 points, which is,
he's still Kobe.
He's on acid, man.
It's
like,
laughable.
What is he talking
it's laughable.
About?
It's laughable in of itself, obviously. But then, like, you really, can we just think about this for a minute? Besides Carl Landry, who I didn't even know was on the Sixers roster, who's in his 30s. There's no dude over 24 years old, which means if you start doing the mental math, like it's hard for me to believe that, like, a 20-year-old kid is really that in awe of Kobe when they weren't even, like, they're not even, like, 13 years old until, yeah, like, even, you know, I don't know, just, like, were they really in awe, or they, you know, it's one thing to respect the game and have a sense of the history of the NBA and stuff, but, like, if you're 11, I'm not sure that you're going to really appreciate, you know, mid-2000s Kobe the way that an older player in the league would.
Well, yeah, I think, go ahead, Adam.
I don't know if they were starstruck so much as just really not good at basketball. So like they're just losing because they were not good, not because they were like, oh my God, it's Kobe Bryant.
It was also like, wasn't it kind of strange though? Like in that game, Lakers, Sixers right now, like, and Kobe was on the court and he was maybe like the fourth best player on the court or fifth at times.
Yeah.
And it's the two worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
Wait, one more Kobe point. I'm sure.
No shots. It's just his body doesn't do
maybe
it.
There's a lot. And we said some positive. I feel like we went pretty positive on Kobe, all things considered, especially from the quote unquote media at the moment. But I will say that Kobe, he says he wants to play every game now. He said even back to backs, he's going to try to play. But it would be nice if at the very least he said, like, listen, some road games I'm going to sit out. Like, there's no way he's playing
every game. Yeah, but now he can't do that. Because now it's his farewell tour, where if he goes to, you know, Minnesota or whatever,
there's an arena full of people that
see him
for tickets. But he can't play every game. He physically can't.
He really
do it.
Cannot. He will die.
Backs are not.
He will literally
happen.
Die.
Well, but this is this was kind of my point
ten
before.
Games like, he couldn't do back to backs.
Yeah.
How? I'll be shocked. How
so
is it going
to
happen?
At the very least, be like, just a heads up. Second day on a back to back on the road, probably not happening.
Yeah. And just to keep this moving a little bit, since we spent a good amount of time on Kobe there. Adam, you touched on the media's treatment of Kobe, and Kevin Durant had an interesting quote earlier this week criticizing the media. We actually have the quote, so I'll just play that real quick. If you give me 1 second.
This would be it.
I did idolize Kobe Bryant. Studying him, wanted to be like him. You know, he's Michael Jordan. You know, I watched Michael towards the end of his career when he was with the Wizards, and I seen that's when Kobe emerged as the guy for us. So. Yeah, I mean, I've been disappointed this year, you know, because you guys treating him like shit. You know, he's a legend, and all I hear about how bad he's playing, how bad he's shooting, it's time for him to hang it up. You guys treated one of our legends like shit, and I didn't really like it.
I don't know where Kevin Durant gets off saying this, that the media treats Kobe like shit. I mean, I think the media has propped this dude up more than anybody. I mean, even us ranking him in the top, whatever it was, in the top 50, I mean, is clearly paying respect to him for, and everybody coming into the season thought he was going to have a great year. And it's not the media who's quote unquote treating him like shit. Kobe has come out and said himself, I suck right now. And that he is like verbatim, literally, I suck right now.
So true.
And so, I mean, I don't know. This is like kind of this is not the first time Durant has come out and had some unsavory things to say to the media. And
it's so weird. Like why take a question in that direction when no, it was not the question.
Kevin Durant is anti-media right now. It's pretty clear.
But he's part of the media. He's like the deputy editor of the Players Tribune.
Right.
So
yeah, I think that the Players Tribune is one of the couple of outlets where they'll let him totally craft his own image, which I just think he's very sensitive towards the entirety of, oh, my bad. He's, you know, to what happens to stories in 2015. Like, you know, the media wasn't treating Kobe like shit. I think probably people on Twitter were. So he was, you know.
So he's just looping in social media.
Totally,
into that. Yeah,
totally. And that's what happens. You do an interview in 2015 and you say something and then it turns into some stupid headline and it's
shout out Rick Ross.
Exactly. And it's on a million websites with a stupid ass headline on Twitter and all that. I think Kevin Durant hates that process. I think he, you know, doesn't want his words misconstrued like that. The whole thing just, I think, rubs him the wrong way. And I think that he clearly is like looping in all of the social media world with the 12 beat reporters that are surrounding players doing interviews. And those are two different things. But, you know, if you're, it's easy to kind of mix them all together.
It's so sad too, kind of, because he, like, look at LeBron. LeBron has done such a good job of shaping the way that he's covered and getting his own voice out there the way that he wants it to be out there, and he's basically laid out this whole blueprint, like with the, what are those, like the uninterrupted videos. And he always, you know, basically has great relationships with like Lee Jenkins, who just did that big SI piece on him,
and with Slam.
Looks like
Slam.
Yeah, whatever. Trying not always talk about us, but yeah.
Why? It's the Slam podcast, baby.
I'm saying I'm sure LeBron will be on this podcast at some point.
Don't
live in studio.
I would not bank on that.
So anyways, like my point is, for Durant, like, for whatever reason, he's failed to kind of use it to his advantage and kind of gone the other way with it. Like, just, like, you know what I mean? Like, just like,
well, he also hates the process. Like, look at LeBron did the GQ interview, right? And he was talking about his sneakers, and he was like, yeah, if I play someone who's wearing my sneakers, I'm going to bust their ass, which is just a joking trash talk comment. Of course, media being what we are, like...
Really? I mean, I took quote. I thought he was serious.
Either way, it's not a big deal.
No, it's not.
At all. Who cares? But, you know, sneaker media ran with it. Basketball websites ran with it. You know, if LeBron sees a guy wearing LeBron's, he's going at them extra hard, whatever. Then LeBron went on Twitter and was like... You know, it's much respect to anyone wearing my sneakers. I appreciate it. Whatever. A tweet, it's done. That's just like the cost of doing media business in 2015. Mm-hmm. You got to deal with that shit. I think Kevin Durant hates that process. I don't think he wants to deal with going on Twitter and being like, yo, that you misconstrued my words. I don't think he likes anything that has to do with this. So I think he's just removed himself entirely and hates it all. Whereas LeBron's like crafted it to make it work for himself.
This is where I got to. All right. So I got to stop and throw in my little Kyrie Irving conspiracy theory to you guys here. Okay, all right, this is the place. This is the place to do it.
Stay woke.
All right. So this was a while ago now, but whatever. November 22nd, there was a story that came out by, you know, a good friend of ours, Dave McMenamin. Shouts to Dave. And I, you know, amazing reporter, does a great job. So he wrote a story where, someone within the Cavs basically said that Kyrie destroyed LeBron James in a one-on-one drill in practice. Now, the specifics of the story is whatever. Like, it was, you know, some drill where like you can only take one dribble or whatever. It wasn't just straight up there playing one-on-one in practice. But I think that this was, I don't want to say like a leak or not true, but at some point along the way, like I think this was like slightly exaggerated by someone within the Cavs. And to that point, like, you know, to either to scare the rest of the league or pump Kyrie up or whatever the motives were. But the point being that no one would have said that without LeBron being like, yeah, it's fine if you tell them that. There's no chance someone's running around the Cavs organization telling people that Kyrie Irving destroyed LeBron in practice without LeBron saying, yeah, I don't give a flying fuck what about any media story. Just like I want to win the title, whatever we have to do. Who cares? Whereas Durant has the exact opposite thing of like always looking at headlines and taking offense to, you know, what the media is saying and stuff. You guys feeling this conspiracy theory or am I just by myself?
Well, okay. So basically what you're saying is LeBron runs not only the Cavs organization, but also the Cleveland media.
No, I'm just
wait,
saying
I'll say that.
I mean, I don't think that's even a stretch.
I think LeBron puts down his phone and whatever. And he has like a plan where he wants to win a championship. He's like, yeah, if you want to tell him Matthew Dellavedova like broke my ankles in practice to like scare some opponent of ours, sure, like go for it.
Well, he doesn't care at all. He just did Sports Illustrated. He did an interview, sat down, did a portrait. But you're right. Like he probably,
I mean, he wants
he
his brand
care
to be
about
out there.
A few headlines out there that are, you know, people could misconstrue. He's just not attached to it like that.
He's not. Yeah, exactly. He's not. He doesn't have a Google alert to his name.
Yeah,
he doesn't. He doesn't Google himself. One time I saw
comfort.
I was at a Knicks game and I was sitting behind Lil Bow Wow and he was Googling himself. I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad telling that story. It happened. Okay. There's no chance LeBron is doing that.
Word. So somebody.
Anyways, go back to whatever
in the
post
game during the post game of. Lakers Sixers, somebody asked Kobe about Durant's comments, and here's what he had to say.
Listen, man, I don't budge on that stuff. Like I appreciate the good stuff, I appreciate the bad stuff. Like I would never want, oh, you're being too hard on me, please stop. you know what I mean? Like, doesn't even sound like me, you know? So like I sincerely appreciate the bad as much as I do the good, and hopefully the players coming up now understand that it's a journey, it's a cycle. You can't take things personally. You got to roll with it, man. It's all good.
So, do we think this is a generational thing? That this new crop of superstar kind of has thin skin compared to, you know, a Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, you know, Karl Malone, those types of guys. I mean, do you think, you know, KD is just kind of acting, you know, kind of immature and childish towards this whole thing? I mean, it's something he's going to have to deal with. And I mean, I feel like I don't know exactly how it works in Oklahoma City, but I feel like he gets kind of treated with kid gloves as far as his media treatment. And, you know, if he's serious about leaving in the offseason, that might be something he has to consider.
Yeah, you have to, as NBA players, they kind of hit a point where they just get above it all. Like you saw that with LeBron, who just got comfortable to the point where he doesn't care that much anymore. And that kind of comes with championships, to be honest. Like, whatever, for the, you know, better or worse in our world today, if you get a ring, you hit a certain level of like, okay, you can do what you want. You don't have a ring, it's kind of like, when are you going to get a ring? So Durant's kind of in this pre-ring state. He definitely doesn't like all the comments of like, this guy's not going to win, you know, hasn't won a championship yet. He's just, I don't think he's found his like comfort level. He's found it maybe in terms of the, you know, his game in the league, but not in terms of dealing with the media, dealing with some of the outside stuff. And that could be, you know, if I was him, I definitely wouldn't want to be like, all right, let me go to New York or DC and or LA and play there. You know, when his thing runs, when his deal runs out.
I think it kind of is a generational thing. And it's such a stupid like reason, but with like all this Twitter, everybody has their Snapchat on at all times. And like, I don't know. I just feel like people are in their own mentions all the time. Like, it's just like we're in this sort of weird, if you're not doubly as mentally strong as you need to be to already be a pro player, you're kind of going to get like, you're kind of going to drown in all of this shit right now.
Word.
I agree with that. I don't think it's generational. I think that's kind of a
right. I didn't mean generational by the, I just mean generational in terms of like literal technology that exists in our world.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Our generation is different than the previous generations as far as the way the media is.
All right. Moving on. Moving on. Moving on. So Jahlil Okafor was in Boston over the weekend and certainly left his mark on the city.
I think it was a few weekends ago, right?
It's actually kind of related because I was saying that, you know, everybody always has a camera phone out.
Yeah. And
yeah, true.
He literally beat the shit out of a few people to put in a layman's terms.
My man went in
and left a few people sleeping in his wake. And add to that, he got a gun pulled to his head while leaving a Philly nightclub. I guess that might happen to people. I can't recall getting a gun pulled on me ever.
I have a story for another time.
I don't even want to know. And then he gets caught doing 108, speeding down the Ben Franklin Bridge.
Speeding.
Troublesome and worrisome behavior from a 19-year-old rookie.
Wait, you forgot the part. You forgot the one where he got tried to use a fake ID as well.
Came out as fake, though.
Whatever. Story,
not the ID.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Well, at least.
Well, maybe somebody should do their Googles before they open.
I was told to do. I was told specifically to not do any Googles.
We don't know true or not, but his camp really admitted to everything except for that one. They said it was definitely false.
What?
It makes sense because who the fuck would card him in Philly? Establishment should be shut down immediately.
ID that is like 8 feet tall.
Fake ID.
So number one,
here's my NBA.com roster page. Yeah, like what?
Number one, a little word of advice: if you see a 7-foot drunk man running through the streets of your city looking for trouble, just steer clear. You don't want to get punched in the face by a man that can palm a basketball with the big
third of his palm
with complete ease,
with literally just his palm, no fingers,
and literally might kill you if he like bitch slaps you. So that's number one. Number two, surprising behavior to say the least. I mean, we interacted with Ja a little bit in the past. I spoke to him when he was at Duke. Super nice kid, and then I don't know, he didn't come to the draft suite, but I mean,
his dad came.
Yeah, we met his father, who was definitely out here. And for a kid to in his first year in the NBA to be acting like this, certainly not the first one like this to happen to, but something that gets magnified due to the actions being caught on social media and by TMZ. But I mean, what do you think the root of this is? Do you think it's the Sixers culture that he doesn't have?
I was about to say, so right off top, just stop me if I'm insane, but do you think he's doing any of this shit on purpose because he wants to get out of there so bad?
No. It's like, I mean, it's so dangerous.
How could?
Like, it's, I mean, I personally think
very reckless, but I'm saying like, he's like, F this, like, I'm just going to go out because our team sucks, blah, blah, blah. Get me out of here.
I mean, if so, that's incredibly unprofessional. And
absolutely. But he's 19, I'm saying.
Yeah, and he did not want to go to Philly to start with. There were multiple reports that he had his heart set on L.A.
Philly, what if he's just essentially throwing a season-long tantrum at this point? Is kind of my point.
I mean, how much of it is that the money has gone to his head a little bit? You know, it's, he's kind of...
Well, he's definitely screaming that on the streets.
Yeah, screaming, we got money. And, I mean, for a 19-year-old kid to get millions of dollars...
he was very drunk.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He was wild drunk.
Of course, wild drunk. But still, I mean, still inexcusable behavior. And, I mean, you don't see any of the other rookies acting like this, at least acting like this in public. And for, you know... I feel like people didn't make a big enough deal about him having a gun pulled to his head. Like, we could have literally had a dead NBA player at the age of 19, and that would have just literally shocked the sports world. So I don't know. I just want to, what's your guys' feel on this whole situation? Do you think it's just growing pain, something he'll get out of eventually? Cause I mean, a remarkable talent, a true building block for this team,
right? 19.
Yeah. He's 19.
Yeah. I mean, he's super young. I think that you see a couple of incidents and you don't freak out, you know, especially at least one incident. And it's just like, okay, he's an NBA player. He went out. Young NBA players go out. The thing is, happens.
Every NBA player goes out.
Yeah. And there's certain rules that you just learn to follow, you know, whether it's avoid being in public doing certain things, learn how to handle a dude yelling, "Your team fucking sucks," on the street, all that kind of shit. And that shit, I hate to, like, you know, shoot the hot take cannon here, but like,
be about that hot take.
Shoot it.
This team has one player older than 24. Like, there's no vets. There's nobody to be like, yo, when you're out, don't do this. Yo, when you're out, make sure you're acting in a certain way. There's nobody teaching them how to be a 19-year-old player who's a millionaire, who's the future of a franchise, who everyone in that city will be looking at when you walk into a bar or a club or the street or whatever. And there's just, so I just think you see one incident and then it's like, you know, guys get in one-off incidents all the time and then they just grow up out of it. And that's it. But the fact that there's multiple things at this point in the season shows that there's nobody that's like, yo, here's how you can get your shit together.
I do find it a little, like, what, it's a little concerning the fact that all the reaction to this is like, you know, essentially like wanting to punish him instead of like, hello, like, there's a problem here. Like, let's find a way to help this kid. He's 19. Like,
totally.
Which is, and I was just going to mention quickly that all of this stuff kind of started reminding me of the conversation that I had this summer with Quintel Woods, who, if you guys don't know who that is, do your Googles. But anyways, Quintel, you know, who's a first round pick of what amounted to the Jailblazers at that time. He was basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, like, and totally different situation, obviously. A lot of vets on that team, but a cast of characters that...
not good vets.
Yeah. not. So he basically essentially said that he came in and he, like, looked around and, like, nobody really, like, took him under their wing, like, or the ones that did were doing a whole bunch of bad shit. And he was like, oh, like, this is what it's like to be an NBA player. Okay, I'm just going to do this. And he ended up getting in, you know, having his own struggles and being out of the league, like, pretty quickly. Like I said, totally different situation, obviously. And
no, you know, great comparison though, man.
More than a decade apart. But like, if you're a kid with money who's coming from not having any money and you're used to doing, like, you know, shit, you're used to just kind of like being out and being in the streets and getting in scuffles like that. Like,
or going out and not getting bothered at all.
It was probably like 18 months ago. Was it like not even 2 years ago, Jahlil Okafor was probably like running around on a Friday night in Chicago with his boys, and if something goes down, they might get this, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, long of a time at all.
I mean, this kid should be a college sophomore, and I mean, think about how, you know, coddled and nurtured he was at Duke. I mean, that if you're on a good team, things are so different. And like, they won national championship. He was the big man on campus. He was their best player. So, you know, no one was stepping to him and being like, yo, you suck. Like,
I think about too, like, you know, Kwame Brown, there was a huge story in the Washington Post that came out when he was a rookie with the Wizards. That was like, you know, someone from the team, like 6 weeks into the season, finally went into his apartment and they just saw like a stack of suits, like crumpled up suits in the corner. And the other corner was just like a stack of pizza boxes. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? He was like, oh, I don't know how to like wash my suits. Like, I don't know how to, and I'm not saying that every player is like that, but you don't know, like, these dudes need a little bit of like, whether that's the roster or Philly not having the structure in place in their organization of someone who's like a recently retired guy who's maybe in their 30s who's there to help guys, whatever it is, like, you know, it's kind of hard to just throw these guys out there and be like, here's millions and millions of dollars, like, do you, we'll see you at practice.
Yeah, you need to humanize these guys a little bit, because getting millions of dollars, I mean, I can't speak from experience, but it has to be like a shocking thing to just literally go from having nothing to pretty much having anything you want in the world, and to be this high profile person in the world. And, you know, not everybody's going to handle it correctly. And
right.
I go give a lot of, or I don't want to say correctly, but, you know, people are going to have their struggles in their own way. And in Jahlil's case, it's him lashing out and going out and drinking and, you know, getting into some shit he shouldn't be getting into. But as to that, I want to give a lot of props to the Timberwolves for bringing in
Flip Saunders.
Yes. Flip did an amazing job. I think one of his lasting legacies is going to be, you know, bringing the Timberwolves young guys up under guys like KG, Andre Miller, Tayshaun Prince.
Yeah. Even Kevin Martin's there.
Even Kevin Martin. And if you watch
4 30-plus-year-olds, yeah, that's all you need.
And if you watch their games, you know, these guys, Kevin Martin, Tayshaun Garnett, and Andre Miller are on the bench cheering these guys on, coaching them during timeouts and when they're on the bench. And that makes a world of difference. And Ricky Rubio spoke earlier this week and said KG is at the gym before anybody, working out, getting shots up. So for a guy like Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns, Zach LaVine, to be looking at a guy like Kevin Garnett, who's there before you, and he's been in the league for 20 years and has more money than any player that's ever played the game, it's like, wow, like this is what it takes. This is, you have to put an insane amount of work in, and Okafor clearly does not have that.
Yeah, and I mean, just to echo your previous point, like, I've seen a lot of the, like, well, if I was getting paid, like, $5 million a year, like, to play basketball, I'll just sit at home and, like, watch Netflix at night.
No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
Not when you can, not when you can quite literally drive 100 miles an hour to any club you want and instantly get bottle service and
any girl.
Or literally anything you want to do in the city, you can do it.
Or if you grew up poor in like this shit part of Chicago and, you know, all of a sudden you have all this money and, you know, you got to live a little, right? You got to go see the world, man. So, you know, Abe, I think you hit it right on the head that instead of punishment, this kid should be, you know, nurtured and should be getting help from somebody in the organization, or a third party should step in, or Adam Silver. I mean, for them, it took this long. They just suspended him the other day. It took that long for them to even do that. Like, there should have been, if not a suspension, then some sort of intervention after this, before this even became public.
It's also, there's a sad, I guess, cruel irony to it, where that, you know, obviously it's great that Towns went to Minnesota and, you know, he's kind of under the KG tutelage, but if Okafor got that, I mean, Garnett's a Chicago kid, like, that could have been the most incredible, you know, mentor-mentee relationship possible. So I don't, you know, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, so
I mean, and we shouldn't leave this point without saying that I hate everything about what the Sixers are doing in general.
100%.
I just want to hammer that point home again.
It is an abomination and an insult to the game of basketball and to the 29 other franchises in the league. Moving on.
On that note, shout out to Shirley Temples, though. And
like
Joel Embiid's, yeah, drinking them by the pitcher.
Oh yeah, remember Joel Embiid when he was going to play in the NBA?
Why is Joel Embiid living out of a hotel? Like, nobody can get this guy out.
He's got a big boot on his foot.
Man, he's just disaster. So, you know, after shitting on an entire franchise, I think it's time to humble ourselves a little bit. And, you know, we put out our 190 for Slam 194, I believe is the issue, right?
Yep.
James Harden on the cover. During our previous podcast, we spent a good amount of time talking about the Rockets and their situation and kind of getting on James Harden a little bit. And shortly thereafter, we dropped the cover with James Harden on it and faced a lot of backlash on social media and in the comment sections of our Instagram and site. And to that, I have to say, timing doesn't always work out.
Print media,
yes. And in our defense, James Harden is one of the guys that readers of Slam have been pining for his own cover for years now, and we finally give it to them. It just happens to be at the worst opportune time. But, I mean, we could be looking back at the end of the season and saying this was a great, or not a great choice, but it makes sense. Abe, you wrote the cover story.
Yeah, I just have to say, thank God I didn't quote Kevin McHale in this story. That would have made it super awkward. timing wise. I mean, it's already awkward, obviously, but like you said, like timing can't always be A1 with every single cover. So it does happen from time to time. And I think at the end of the season, you know, James Harden is still going to be James Harden. I don't see him, you know, falling that far off a cliff. This team is going to kind of has already righted it, at least to like being 500 since we last talked. So,
yeah. And I'm looking at, you know, the league leaders right now. He's second in points, right under 30, playing nearly 40 minutes a game. So, yeah, I mean, the team isn't playing well, but there's plenty of time for them to turn it around. And I think they'll get it figured out. They got plenty of guys on that team. But for everybody giving a shit about the cover, I don't really appreciate that. No. And
shouts out to the guy who commented, quote, "This is a nut-hugging article" on the article. Thanks, bro. Ultimate compliment.
You had a point.
Appreciate you.
Well, write your own goddamn story if you don't like it.
This is interesting, actually. Just a little impromptu here. I didn't prep you guys at all, but someone commented top five people who deserve the 194 cover before James Harden: Paul George, Andrew Wiggins, Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo, and Blake Griffin.
Okay, well, all those guys except Butler have been on a cover.
Correct.
No way we're putting Rajon Rondo
Wiggins
on a cover.
Wiggins was just there.
Wiggins was just there. And probably will be on again before the year is over.
Paul George is playing awesome. Shouts to him. We just had a nice feature story about him a couple issues ago.
Penned by you as well.
Certainly a candidate for later in the season if he continues to play this
well. Absolutely. So look, man, I mean, I think our batting average is pretty great when it comes to covers. And, you know, based on the things are going, way things are going right now, I think people are going to be very, very happy with 195.
Still go get 194 there. There's some good little nuggets in that story about Harden that I think you guys will like. So go check that out.
Yeah. And there's a great story about Chris Dunn in there written by your boy. great story about Chris Bosh written by your own.
Yeah.
Figs.
Damian Lillard interview.
Another Damian Lillard interview. Number 35 on the year. I am mad though. He's
shout out Damian Lillard.
Yeah, Dame Dollar's balling.
Well deserved. Maybe we'll get a Dame CJ cover at some point over the next year too.
Maybe.
So Abe and I took a little field trip last week out to the Barclays Center for a college basketball doubleheader. And we got to catch Ben Simmons and the LSU Tigers. Abe, real quick, what'd you think of Simmons? You know, things you liked, things you didn't like.
Yeah, I mean, it was strange, right? We went the night after he had just posted that 21, 24 and 7, some crazy stat line
game.
Like that.
Yeah.
2020 game and 7 dimes the day before. So we were pretty hyped to be in there to see him up live and close. We had some nice seats there.
Shout out to the plug.
On the floor. Yeah. Lots of very nice LSU fans near us.
Nice five, screaming 530, their hearts out. 5:30 tip.
5:30 and already in the bag, these kids. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting, you know, that he had basically what from like, you know, if you weren't paying attention, you'd be like, wow, this dude is having a terrible game because he only had 2 points through like 18 minutes, or I should say through like 38 minutes. Meanwhile, he's dominating the game in like all other aspects at a double-double without having 10 points, which was a little bit absurd. He ended up fouling out, but I think we both agree too that he has a terrible coach and a super inexperienced team. I mean, they just lost to
College Charleston. They suck.
I mean, yeah.
And there's
some
like,
free advice for your March Madness pool. LSU, no chance they go to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, all even I was saying for a majority of the second half was like, this is going to be a team, if they make the tournament, that people are going to be so high on and are going to be a first round bump all the way.
I do have to say though that like the people just love to take like college guys like this after they have one game, like that 2020 game you had, and just the hyperbole just gets out of control. Like I heard Bill Simmons comparing him to like Magic Johnson and LeBron in terms of floor vision. Can we just take one step back? You know what I mean?
Let's take multiple steps back.
Like Jesus.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a nice player, but wow.
My biggest thing with him that is worrisome, that for whatever reason isn't getting talked about that much, is he can't shoot and is reluctant to shoot. And in today's NBA, if you can't shoot, like you're at a severe, severe disadvantage, no matter how good your other skills are. As the game evolves and moves further back towards the 3-point line, like if you're coming into the NBA without at least a decent jumper that you could work on, like that is an ultimate red flag. So, I don't know, man. I guess that's my scouting report on him. Everything else looked amazing. He's got a, you know, he's super strong. He can handle the ball like a guard. He's 6'10". He gets up and down the floor. He didn't really try that hard on defense, but I think that has more to do with his team just sucking. And like these games really just mean nothing to him. Like he's got millions of dollars waiting for him at the end of the season.
I mean, that game went into overtime, and like the last three possessions of regulation, I don't think he touched the ball, which is,
oh, it's
obscene.
Maddening.
Totally obscene.
Literally the best player on the floor doesn't even touch.
Can he get a touch?
The ball,
I want to know, like, I don't know how much other college ball you guys have been watching, but are there other players besides Ben Simmons and Chris Dunn that have like stuck out to you in the college game?
Figs doesn't watch college hoops, but Melo Trimble, for sure.
I was about to say, yeah, that Maryland UNC game last night was pretty lit at one point. I didn't know Marcus Page was that good.
I was going to say Marcus Page, actually. I saw a game.
Tyler Ulis on Kentucky, who probably isn't going to be a high draft pick next year, but it's a great college player. And
Briscoe kind of went off too.
Yo, Briscoe's balling, man, which surprised me. He got in much better shape. The only time I really saw him play last year was at Jordan Brand Classic. And my big thing, I didn't think he would be athletic enough to hang with these guys, but he shed some weight, got in the weight room, and he looks great out there. I mean, all the Kentucky guys, of course, Chris Dunn from Providence, who you already mentioned,
baller.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit I haven't watched as much. Oh, you know what? I like that kid on Marquette, the big white dude, Josh Ellenson, I think his name is, right?
I was gonna say Henry, but
Henry Ellenson.
Not nearly enough. Don't worry,
we'll delete this part of the podcast.
Nah, we're keeping it, man. So I like that kid, the big white dude on Marquette.
There's not a lot of those on fucking Marquette.
I know. I was looking at their roster when they were at Barkley. It's like, yo, all these kids were just like small town Wisconsin legends, like dropping 50 in these small ass gyms. So shout out to Marquette
bench also.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Oh, speaking of which, should I ask Figman our hypothetical that we were kicking around at halftime of that LSU game?
I don't remember, but yeah.
All right, absolutely. So we're speaking of the Monmouth bench. If you could be a walk-on at the end of a bench on any team in America, taking into account the sneaker brand of the school, potential to go to the Final Four, the campus weather,
value of degree,
the student body,
value
everything
of degree?
Yeah, which like all the way at the end.
Give me like a few schools that you would be considering. You're going back to college right now. You're going to be a walk-on. You're never going to play.
Oh, I thought this question was, would you rather be a walk-on at a huge school?
No.
Star,
you can pick
on a
anything.
Shitty school.
You can be at Duke. You could be at College of Charleston or anywhere
in
between.
Are you asking me what school I would go to?
What school would you go to?
Shit. I'd probably debate between like a Duke-UNC. Good education.
Duke-UNC, but you don't want to be
getting a scholarship, right? I'm not paying for school.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Shit.
You don't want to be near
and
the
like
beach.
Your basketball future is either like...
I mean, University of Florida is dope.
Yeah.
That came up as well.
Yeah. Like your basketball career is either like rec league all-star or like shit third world country. Regardless of school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or go coach middle school girls.
Yeah.
I'm going to pose a...
But you could also take into account, like, you could be playing, if you pick a great school, you'd be playing alongside some future NBA guys. You can keep in touch, go to games for free later.
You have a few NBA friends.
you could go out with Jahlil Okafor at night when he becomes a pro.
Debatable.
Would you rather be the 16th man and not even be
the last answer to the you're just gonna give
some
us
some sort of like Duke-UNC?
So we picked Arizona.
Yeah, we both said Arizona.
That's a good one.
Because then you get
University
the weather,
Florida State,
and you get the
Arizona,
girls too.
Arizona State.
Yeah. Well, Arizona State. I mean, I feel like nobody goes to those games. Like at Arizona, like you have the pedigree.
Why does it matter?
Well, you want to have, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, you just
want
to be
fans.
Like in a dope environment. And
anyone,
like,
if you're the 16th man on the bench, you're getting, you
no, just fans of the team. You go through the layup lines, you point at your mom in the stands.
And like, you see your boys, all your boys.
What about UCLA?
You see Bay in the stands.
But I mean, nobody goes to those USC? Games either. Like, that program's kind of in the dumps. So,
okay.
Personally, I like, you know, question. Arizona's got the question. Nike swag.
Question. Speaking of the Monmouth bench, mm-hmm.
could chill with Stan.
Would you rather? Yeah. Would you rather be the 16th man on the University of Arizona team, or not even like a like location doesn't matter here, right?
No.
Or the best player by far. Either way, your post college career is going to be the same. The best player by far at a school like Monmouth, or shout out Lehigh University, Bucknell, school like that.
The last guy off the bench, so everyone else would have to get man, break their leg.
Either way, your post college career is the same. 16th man at the University of Kentucky, or the best player and the big man on campus as a result at, say, Lehigh, Bucknell,
with Monmouth. No NBA future.
But you still, either way, you have but still like a deep, a team that
you're just not becoming.
You could still make the tournament. Maybe
you could be the best player on Bucknell and never go to the NBA.
Shout out Mike Muscala.
I didn't know it was the shout out section of the podcast.
Slow down.
I think I would, because I'm lazy, I would take the 16th man at the end of the bench and just chill in my warm ups. Never take my warm ups off and just, you know, go through the layup line with Drake. Like, right. Do a bunch of Instagrams with like Isaiah Briscoe and, you know.
Selfies with Isaiah Briscoe while he's playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Just do like warm ups. You gotta admit, it's kind of dope to be the best player by far.
Oh, like, hell yeah. Plus, you probably play in the tournament against Kentucky.
Yeah, I was friends with your shine. So I was like pretty good friends with the best player at the school I went to on the team. And
you're like one of the guys who has beef with their school. So, in like,
once again, your Googles, it's not that difficult to figure this one out.
It is tough. I ain't on LinkedIn, bro. up there. So, but like,
Pete says his high school before games with Pete Walsh,
Bedford University. School of Hard Knocks,
Bedford Road Elementary School.
Shout out.
But like, his life was so ill. Like, he got.
His life was so ill at blank university.
Yeah, like he won conference player of the year twice and defensive player of the year three times, and like got some NBA looks and played. But even more than that, like just his, he was a celebrity. It's like a small town. Everywhere he goes, people like hook him up with stuff and
free food every day.
Like girls are hanging off of him. So that's a pretty dope life to live too. Mm-hmm. So very good question, Face. I think I'm going to go with the big man on campus over 16th man on a bench. Cause I'm trying to ball, yo, like at the end of the day.
Yeah. Shit. Why are you looking at me?
All right. So real quick, wrapping things up here, Golden State still undefeated. I picked them to enter Christmas Day, undefeated against the Cavs. I'm sticking to it. And I'm feeling real good. Feeling real good.
19-0, or should we make it 20-0 since they also deaded that Utah Jazz blogger over?
The ultimate fatality against that dude. Shout out Draymond Green just for being a god, man. So yeah, I mean, whatever. I'm just like kind of hyped that I'm still riding this 29-0 thing out. So I had to bring it up.
They're up 9 at halftime as we record this, actually.
And we're recording this on Wednesday. So they're playing the Hornets on Del Curry night.
Mm-hmm. Shouts to Del.
Yeah, shout out Del.
9 is, I mean, shouts to the Hornets for sticking with them, relatively speaking.
Sans Al Jefferson.
Yep.
As well.
Shouts to the whole Curry family, by the way. I think Seth Curry needs more minutes for the Kings, man. That's a random thought for you.
All right.
The 7-12 Sacramento.
So with that, shout out.
Some minutes.
Shout out Seth Curry.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Curry family.
Shout out Aisha Curry.
Women included, yeah.
Shout out Riley Curry.
Yeah.
Shout out Bob McKillop, Davidson's head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Adam Figman. Shout out Yaron Weitzman. Shout out Ben Osborne. Shout out Susan Thomas Price.
I think it's Price Thomas, but I mean, either way.
Shout out Aldon Corshidi. Shout out Franklin Kaye, who we were with at the... at the LSU game last week, and he was dapping up Rich Paul on the stands, trying to stun on the entire world as he does so well.
And drinking Ducey and Coke.
Shout out Markelle Fultz. Shout out Stanley Johnson. Shout out Andre Drummond.
Shout out Quintel Woods.
Shout out Quintel Woods. Shout out every player playing ball internationally right now. Shout out TJ McConnell. Shout out the guy who got knocked out by Jahlil Okafor. Shout out.
You might need to interview that guy.
I mean, yeah, if he could pick his brains up off the concrete.
Jesus Christ.
Who am I missing here? Shout out Chris, I mean, shout out Chris Dunn.
Yo, shout out Chris Stapps once again.
Yes, shout out for Zingas.
Man,
Zingas.
Every week deserves a shout out.
Shout out to Marcus Cousins. Shout out Marco Bellinelli for sliding into people's DMs.
Most legendary eternity. DM slider.
Shout out J.R. Smith, who
I think that's J.R. Smith's title.
Nah, man, the Marco Bellinelli one, so much better.
Facts. Do your Googles if you don't know
so
that one.
So much better.
I don't know, man.
I don't know how much we can say here, but just, yeah.
The J.R. Smith one, though?
Nah.
She sent him a smiley face, and his response was, really? Question mark?
That's, I'm going to disagree
that
here.
That might be the best exchange in human history, the history of communication.
Yeah, but Marco's...
Well, his was up front.
I think you're... Yes. Also, he gets I'm an international guy excuse. I don't understand the culture of DMs.
Shout out CJ Miles.
Thanks for steering us back on track there.
Yeah.
Shout out CJ McCollum for absolutely spinning Dirk Nowitzki
around. CJ.
Shout out to Dirk, man.
As Ishwad said to me, as my brother said to me, he spun him like a dreidel last night. Hanukkah's coming up.
All right. I think on that we will end this Slam Podcast Volume 2. Respect the game. Thank you all for listening.
Tell your friends, comment,
subscribe. Yeah. Subscribe, yeah. Tweet follow it. Us Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all Slam Online.
Unfollow Rick Ross.
Crab website.
Crab emojis and Rick Ross's comments for eternity. Yeah, big thanks. Abe, thank you for coming through. Figman, thank you for coming through, bro. I appreciate you. All right, man. We'll be back
peace.
Before the year is out, for sure. All right, peace.